This week's episode of Green Visions is a segment of an interview originally recorded on March 1st of this year. KUMD talked with Will Barsh about NRRI's new online Atlas tool. The full conversation with Will can be found on Apple Podcast, Google Play, or KUMD.org. And we'll have a link set up on our website, so it will be easy for you to find.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Green Visions on KUMD Duluth Public Radio. I'm Adam Reinhardt. Today's episode, we talk with the Natural Resources Research Institute, often called NRRI, an applied research organization established by the Minnesota State Legislature within the University of Minnesota Duluth that works to develop and deliver tools and understandings needed to utilize our mineral, forest, energy, and water resources in a balanced and environmentally responsible way. What we'll be focusing on today is the Natural Resources Atlas, launching the first week of March 2019. It's an online tool that allows organizations, agencies, nonprofits, and the general public access to hundreds of layers of data to plan projects or make informed development decisions.
My name is Will Barsh. I'm a senior research scientist at the Natural Resources Research Institute in Duluth. I have a background in water quality science and looking at how what happens in the watersheds affects the water quality of the lakes, rivers, and streams within them.
So NRRI is releasing this Natural Resources Atlas the first week of March 2019. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of how the Atlas actually works and what it provides for people that look into it, if you could start by just describing how this project came to be.
Sure. So NRI has always been pretty strong in geographical information systems. I'll call it GIS from here on out. And basically that's taking spatial data and looking at it and learning from it and applying analysis to it. So we've done a number of spatial mapping applications before, but they've been very specific and for very specific groups or tasks. What we wanted to do was create a more general and broad natural resource atlas and get some multidisciplinary data out there to people that need it to make better decisions.
And what kind of people would be accessing this?
Well, when we first started with this project, we identified a few key characteristics of groups that we thought might find something like this useful. Generally, they're smaller organizations. They have authority to make decisions that impact natural resources, and they have limited capability to do GIS work themselves or limited time to do that work.
So at least as far as I know, those GIS programs that are often used by larger companies can be really, really expensive to access. Is that correct in saying?
Yeah, there's a couple of hurdles there. One, like you just mentioned, they're pretty expensive to get a license to use them. And the other one is that there's a technical hurdle that you have to have a lot of experience to be able to use them effectively.
And so this program, this atlas that NRRI is putting out, is the idea is that it's free for people to use, and then it's also pretty straightforward for someone that might not have a GIS background?
Yeah, we worked really hard to make the atlas very intuitive to use. We met with after we identified the characteristics of the target user groups that we wanted, We identified and met with individuals from those groups, and we learned about the tools that they were currently using, some of the things that worked for them, some of the things that were difficult, and learned just in general more about their decision-making process. And we used that information and incorporated it right into the design of the Atlas.
Can you describe a little bit what the Atlas looks like and, you know, what sort of features are available to users?
Yeah, so the Atlas itself has over 275 different data layers in 10 different disciplines. We've got agriculture, biological stuff, boundaries, climate, environment, geology and topography. We've got imagery and land cover, infrastructure, society and economy, and water. And you can bring all these different layers in with just one click of the mouse. It's incredibly easy to load the data, view it. You can toggle between different base maps. You can have a simple, clean grayscale if you want to focus on the data that you're loading. Or if it's more useful to you, you could load a topographical map with topographical elevation contours or aerial imagery from Bing. We've also got a number of tools that we built into the Atlas that allow you to do some basic analysis. We have some drawing and measuring tools where you can draw a line and get the distance of that. You could draw a square or polygon or circle and get the area. One of my favorite features is with the line drawing, you could trace a trail that you like to run on or hike on or walk on. And then when you're done, you can get the elevation profile of that trail so you can see what kind of slopes you're going up and down and what type of effort you might expect if you're planning an excursion of sorts. You can also, if you're looking for a particular place on the map, you can type in your latitude and longitude and it'll place a marker there. You can do some basic analysis. You can summarize some features within a boundary unit. And when I say a boundary unit, I'm talking about administrative boundary unit like a county or a township or natural boundaries like a watershed. And within, say, for example, if you wanted to know how many wild rice lakes were within St. Louis County, you could count those or even calculate the area of all those watersheds with our layer analysis tool. We also, one of the important things that our users really wanted the ability to do was to share this information with their colleagues and the different groups and public that they work with. We built in a couple different features that to allow this. One of them is to save your map settings. So you could load up a couple layers of interest, zoom into a particular area, and get all that information on the map that you want. And then you can generate a URL and share that with your colleagues. And if they paste that into their browser, it'll open them up to the exact same map that you were looking at. Another way that you can do this is that you can print the maps. It'll create an image with the legend if you want it in there. And you can print that as a PDF, so you can have a digital image, or you can print it out on paper and share that with your colleagues.
For clarity, for someone that wasn't familiar at all with these mapping softwares, all of the different layers, so your precipitation, if you had a precipitation layer and a land use layer, so you can stack those layers on top of each other, correct? And that's how you can paint a picture based on multiple layers.
Yeah, one of the key things about this tool is that you're able to view different data sets at the same time. So you can stack them in ways that make sense, and then you can actually go in and you can change the opacity of each layer so that they each one is visible in a way that is meaningful to the project you're working on.
So you might be able to target, if you're a trail running group, you might be able to identify a good area and then look at vegetation or something, or I don't know if that was a great example, but you're able to take multiple different factors that are important to you and kind of see where, the best area is. Is that correct?
Sure. You could use some of our elevation data to identify areas that met your needs for that, whether you wanted areas that were relatively flat or relatively steep, depending on how much of a challenge you wanted. And then you could load in some of our trail data to see what was available for existing surfaces or trails to run on. And you could load in ownership data, too, to see if there were some other public areas that you hadn't considered using before.
Is this a tool to allow people or organizations to make smarter, maybe more informed decisions about how they're doing their development?
Yeah, so what we really see, the overarching goal of this whole project is to facilitate informed communication and make sure that people have the information they need to make the best decision possible. The bottom line is, if you're going to make good decisions, you need information. And if you're going to be able to gather that information, you either need time or technical capability or both. And so what we did with this is we developed a tool working with our target end users that would meet their needs to make the information available to them. There's a lot of data out there. Not everybody knows it exists or where to find it, and we're trying to make it all available, or make the most relevant data available through the Atlas. And by doing this, we think that better decisions will be made that impact the natural resources of the northeastern and north central Minnesota.
What upcoming addition to the Atlas are you most excited about?
A couple of data layers that I'm excited to get into the Atlas in the near future are the National Wetland Inventory update that the Department of Natural Resources has been working on, and the Restorable Wetland Index that NRI has been working on in collaboration with the DNR. We have some preliminary data available right now, but the final version will be later in the spring.
And what is a restorable index? What does that data consist of, or what would it be used for?
Yeah. So historically, Minnesota has lost a lot of its wetlands. And now that we realize how valuable they are, that we're sure that we lose fewer of them, and there's a lot of restoration that's coming back to reclaim some of those lands that have been converted to other uses back into wetlands. So one of the ways that you can make that process more effective is to identify areas that were once wetlands and could potentially be restored to wetlands again with less effort than starting from scratch. So we use a bunch of different spatial data and some statistical modeling to identify these different areas that are likely to succeed for wetland restorations.
So if one of our listeners, if their interest is piqued and they want to check it out for themselves, how would they go about doing that? Where do you find the Atlas online?
The Atlas is free and publicly available at mnnaturalresourceatlas.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Will, for your time. We look forward to checking it out ourselves. And I appreciate you coming on.
Great. Thank you, Adam.
That was KUMD's Adam Reinhart talking with Will Barsh about the Natural Resources Research Institute's new free online atlas that allows users access to hundreds of layers of natural resource data. Adam's full conversation with Will can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or at KUMD.org. And links to the Atlas can be found in the episode's web post on KUMD.org.